Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the spot where the conversations are pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Did you bring your thinking caps? Because it's time to put them on. Because the conversation starts now. Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here is the spot, the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. And we are up in the north, okay? We're up in Washington State with Afina Arshisha. Did I say that correctly? I said it right, okay?
You did.
I'm so excited. Brains, I love this sister because she's doing the most. She is an entrepreneur, black women-owned business. Yes, I said black-owned because we need to own our own. So, you know, get with it. Our buying power. What are we doing? She is really into, you know, some earthy kind of vibey things. She loves crystals. And she was adopted, and she just found her biological father, and she's on her way to go on a trip with him across the country. And I'm sure I'd love to be a fly in the car with them, because that's going to be a deep conversation. There's going to be so many things. Me and my husband just went on a road trip. We've been married 37 years, and there was things about him that I didn't know. So it's really going to be a great trip. And I'm glad you're tripping with us here on the Edge. So, Brains, help me welcome Afina. Hi, baby.
Hello. Good morning, April.
How are you doing?
I'm doing really well. I'm excited to embark on this incredible journey I'm getting ready to go on this morning.
Well, I don't even know where to begin. Let's talk a little bit about, you know, how you show up in the world, and then we can talk about you finding your biological father and move on from there.
Okay, that sounds great. I'm a born and bred Pacific Northwest girl. I come standard with my web feet and never carry an umbrella. I was born out here in the rainy state of Washington, right here on the hilltop of Tacoma. I don't know if you're familiar with this area out here.
Yeah, a little bit. I've never been there to visit. I've always wanted to on our way to. My son has a place in Oak Harbor, Washington.
Okay.
I want to come up there. I want to see them big trees, girl. I'm a tree hugger.
Yes, I'm a tree hugger. I'm definitely a tree hugger. And we're hippie-ish out here. So just, you know, lots of rain out here in the Pacific Northwest. And a lot of time to really sit with ourselves on the side of the country and just enjoy all the beauty and all the wonder that it has to offer out here. It's really beautiful.
It's magical.
Very, very magical.
So tell us a little bit about your story about adoption and finding your birth father. That's exciting.
Yeah. So I was born out here. I was born and raised by my biological mother. And she, her husband raised me. He actually adopted me. I didn't find out until I was about 10 years old that I was adopted. I always thought the man that raised me was my father. He gave me a name, you know. And I think that in those days, I'm aging myself, but you know, early 80s, late 70s, you know, you just, that was your parent. And when you got a new parent, that was mom or that was dad. And there wasn't a whole lot of step, you know, it's kind of like the Von Trapp family. The
exactly. Thing. Exactly. Exactly. I get it.
Right. Like that was just your mom and your dad. And so I think we moved away from up here in Tacoma. In the late 80s, my father moved us down to Salem, Oregon, where he was a prison sergeant. And I grew up in a very strict household. And when him and my mom were divorcing one day, they were having an argument. And I'm like, Daddy, Daddy. And he says, you know, I'm not your father. And I was taken aback, you know, and it was a really harsh way that they told me that he wasn't my dad. And later on, I found out, you know, he was very apologetic, and I found out that he wasn't my biological father. But he was the man who raised me, and he gave me a name. And I grew up the only girl out of five siblings. And you know how that role can be portrayed in our community, especially, you know, I was mom. We were latchkey kids, and we spent a lot of time raising ourselves. And so fast forward many years, my father actually moved us down to Oregon, because here on the hilltop in the 80s, there was a lot of the crack epidemic, had taken hold, had gripped hold of the hilltop area up here. And my grandmother, as a matter of fact, was one of the biggest drug dealers there was. And so, yeah, no. She, Miss Black, Miss Collins, Miss Black, she was one of the biggest drug dealers out of Pacoima, California, and that's what she did. And I grew up in crack houses and just grew up seeing a really harsh side of life and reality. And so my stepfather moved us down to the Salem area, where he had his career as a prison sergeant, and he really wanted us to take us away from that lifestyle that we had grown up in. And so he passed away in 2012, and I set out on a journey to find my biological father. I knew I was always really different. I had this wisdom and this wonder, this wide-eyed wonder that wasn't, it was very unusual. As a kid, I was like, just even in third grade, I was like a college level, like I was just a really smart kid, college level, reading and writing and mathematics. And I just wasn't like the people who were around me and the examples of life that I saw around me. So I set out on this journey to find my biological dad. And in 2020, I did. I found him.
Now, was that with assistance of your mom, or your mom was like, I'm not going back there no more?
Yeah, she was. She was like, I'm not going back there. I don't want to dig that stuff up. And she didn't really have a whole lot of information. And so Ancestry, DNA, and 23andMe or something that we have access to. And so I set out, and I submitted my DNA, and I found a match.
Wow. Okay, so you found the match, and then you said, oh, there's my daddy. Okay, or I think it's my daddy. And what happened when you knocked on his door, or you wrote him the letter, or made the phone call?
It was really interesting, because my whole life I'd been told that I was too much, you know, I was too loud, and I was too bright, and I was too, you know, I have one of those personalities that are just in your face all the time, you know, and I never knew where I belonged. And when I remember the first picture I saw of him, he was wearing this purple suit, and I was like, oh my gosh, that's my dad. Because you could tell, like, his personality was so vibrant and big, you know?
Well,
And
where did you, okay, because I know Ancestry.com, and I know 23andMe. So did you do, you got all the information. Did you find him on Facebook? Did you Googled him? How did you find him?
I did. I found him on Facebook. I
Hey,
did a
that
search.
Facebook is a cold piece, brains. You better watch it.
Oh yeah, it was once I had his name and his information, it was really easy to find him.
But the thing
And
is, him being of a mature age, a lot of times they're not online. A lot more
right.
are than they used to be. So it was meant for you to find him.
No, it absolutely was. And when I found him, I discovered that he had been married. I'm 42, and the woman that he'd been married to for 41 years was a crystal dealer. And yes, and so it was even like, for lack of better words, like our faith was aligned, you know? And they were never able to have any children. They have been together for 40 years. I was 41, or I was 41 at the time. And it was like this whole life was waiting for me. And he literally was like, baby girl, do you need me to make your world a little bigger? And I was like, yes, dad. And he was like, we're gonna do that. And ever since then, that's just kind of what we've been doing, like embarking on this incredible journeys together, and really just getting to know each other. Every single day we talk, either by phone or in person, just really spending, catching up on this life together. And he
Answer this question for me if you want to. Is your mom in her feelings? And the reason why I say that, is your mom still alive?
My mother is still alive,
Okay.
yes.
Because sometimes it's like, look at that. She's just gravitated to him. Well, you're excited. It's new. You want to find out who he is. Is she in her feelings a little bit?
She yeah, it's really interesting because I spent the most of my life and my journey parenting my mother.
Okay.
She suffers from severe mental illness.
All right.
And I've spent most of my life parenting her. So for once, for me to have a parent in my life who wants to be a father still, even though I'm an adult, and still be a part of my life, I think that she struggles with that a little bit. But it's so amazing just to
Well,
have
you
him.
just light up. I mean, every time you say it, your eyes get big and your smile gets wider. So I'm so happy for you. It's never too late. You are not only a grandmother, but you have seven kids of yourself. How you
I
do all of
do.
that? Tell me about that.
So, I became a mom at very, very tender age of 14.
Oh, bless your heart.
I had my first son, and I lived a life of a lot of domestic abuse and addiction, and it was only him and I, for a long time, a life of poverty, a lot of domestic violence. And so the only thing I ever had were my children, to keep close to me and to nurture and really to give everything that I never had, growing up. And so, yes, I have seven children and six out of my body, and I have a couple stepkids. So really it's eight if we're counting, if we're keeping count. But
A blended family, and that's bravo. Because, honey, I had one and I was like, I checked out. I'll get you a puppy and I'll sign you up for Girl Scouts. I wasn't having no more. It's a lot of responsibility. My mother, she got pregnant at the age of 14, and a baby having a baby is difficult. There's a certain amount of responsibility, there's a certain amount of stigma, support. Like I said, drugs. There, domestic violence, because you don't understand what your self-worth is worth.
right.
No one's been able to really carve that out for you. Your mother did the very best that she could, but she had her own mental illness, and your grandma was running a business. So I understand. Yeah, I understand. I'm not down on the drug dealers. I'm from South Central LA. I've seen it. So I know
Yeah,
I seen what it is, and it's ruthless.
unfortunately, that is the generational curse. And that was my generational curse, one of many that I had to learn to overcome, And right now I'm getting ready to write a book about how I did that, how I overcame those things and became an entrepreneur. And I just really just one step at a time. I remember in the midst of my depression, in the midst of my social anxiety and my addiction, I knew I didn't belong there. I knew this, that I had more in store, that there was more in store for me, and that I was in an environment I didn't belong in. But so many times with these generational and these curses and sins that we have that are passed down from our grandmothers and our mothers,
Absolutely.
you have to find a way. And that's what I did. I found a way.
Well, that's beautiful. What's your writing process? What, where do you go? Do you go outside? Do you dedicate so many hours, so many words per week, per day? How are you going through this process of writing your memoir?
It's really interesting because when I started this, I honestly I thought I was having delusions of grandeur. And so I spent a lot of time just writing in my mind, you know. It's so interesting how we as people get down on ourselves, you know. And so I spent a lot of time just really writing the story in my mind. I didn't think I was capable. And as I became stronger in my own self-worth and my own value, I realized I could really do this. I could really. And so I would sit up at night all night long, really strange hours between. I'm nocturnal by nature, you know, and so I would stay up all night just writing and just kind of talking to myself in my recorder and just, you know, remembering things. And so that's my writing process, just staying up at night
Right.
and
And again, I tell people all the time, whip out that phone, because a lot of people now are recording and then they're uploading it to places like Fiverr, and they are putting it into text, and then you take it and you can send it to one of these self-publishing companies and have you a book within 30 days, brains,
Right. And
for minimal cost. Right.
it's
But the
light.
key is to have a good editor. A good editor. You got to have your grammar and your spelling. You reread. I've written three books. I'm on book number four now. But you reread it so many times that it is mechanical in your own mind. But what you have to understand is you have to be able to deliver that clear, concise, and people are looking at your street cred.
That's
Yeah.
right.
And if you don't have a good editor that even understands your voice, your snarkiness, your slang, your rage, whatever, it's not going to work. So again, taking the time to do that is a labor of love, absolutely. So not only have you written a book, you got seven kids, you've overcome adversity, you found your father, and now you own a business. Girl, you're doing the most. Tell us about those businesses you own.
So when I found my stepmom, she'd been creating this jewelry for years. And so she's an actress and she's kind of my parents are older. And so they had no children to pass this along to. And so my daughter started working with crystals and with wire, and she was a natural. And so she started working doing bracelets and I started kind of making bath teas and other bath products, and me and Cynthia Jones Taylor, my dad's wife, just kind of collaborated on this beautiful venture, All the Wishes. And it really highlights just me being a Black little girl and wishing, you know, the daffodil wishes that you blow. And it's literally just me blowing those seeds of love and hope and abundance and strength into the world. And that's the little logo. It's a Black girl blowing the
That's
wishes.
beautiful. That is beautiful. So tell me a little bit about crystals. I know, maybe my brains don't know where. Let me look on my desk here. I know that there's something here. I always have something around me. I'll find it before we end.
Well, today I'm wearing
Right.
lapis lazuli
We were
today.
talking about that, and I picked up a lot of lapis when I was in the Virgin Islands. Beautiful. And it's a communication stone.
It
It
is.
really
It's a
helps you.
performance.
It helps you balance your communication. It helps you speak clearly. And especially wearing it around the throat area, that's, your throat chakra, you want to definitely be aware of that. So, how do you use crystals in your life and your day-to-day experiences?
It was really interesting because before I even met my dad and my stepmom, I had started working with them. I had had a few near-death experiences,
Wow.
and my blood pressure was out of control. I have chronic illnesses. I have Crohn's disease and depression, and I really was just looking for something, an alternative healing. Oh, those are beautiful. I was looking for an alternative healing method because I was tired of taking, pumping myself and my body up with all these drugs and medications. And so I
And then
started
after
with
going through that addiction thing, you like, this is the last thing I need to do. I need to
it's the
clean
last
myself
thing.
out. I don't need to get addicted to any painkillers or any.
Right. And so I started doing crystal healing, crystal just healing natural with natural crystals and herbs. And it was crazy because when I found my stepmom, she'd been doing this, she'd been in this business for 20 years of crystal work and wire work. And so it was really like it aligned with me. It was always there for me. It was just it's a part of me. And she is just as much a spiritual mother to me. It's just I feel just as connected to her as I do my biological mother. This was here and this was with us all along, all along I feel like they've been with me. So
Well,
just
I have a bonus son, and we don't call each other step. I made the mistake. I introduced him to someone because they thought I was older than I was, and I said, well, this is my husband's son. This is my bonus son. And he looked at me with a side eye. It was like, don't be trying to put no step in between us, and there's not, and we're so close. Blending a family is tough. I talk to people all the time. What are some of your key strategies when when you deal with your bonus children and your family, and when you merged into your father's life? I mean, I'm sure that his wife was cool and she was open to it, but she want to check you out first too. She done been with this man 41 years, and here come this young tender thing. Is this an imposter, or what is this? So first, explain to me a little bit about blending the family, and then how you got to be so close to your stepmom.
Yeah, I think blending, it's just challenging. You have so much his, mine, and ours. There's so much that goes into that, but really for me and my partner, 10 years we've been at this and just staying on a united front, always being a united front to our kids is so important. And just really listening to each other and spending time together, just really hearing each other and just really operating from a place of love first and foremost in whatever we do, like I have to take apart, like, where is this coming from? Is it coming from fear, which is oftentimes what gets in the way of our emotions, a fear of something, but just leading from a place of love. And everything that we do for each other, just making
Absolutely.
love number one in our lives. So it's been really incredible. And I think us but figuring out what our true motives are, I'm the type of person I wear my heart on my sleeve. And so for anyone who had any reservations, once you meet me, that I'm genuine and I was never after anything. I never wanted anything from my dad and my stepmom, but just to get to know them and be a part of their lives,
Well, it's intention, people's intention.
And my dad, when he not only gained a daughter, but he gained seven grandkids. They never thought they could have any children.
Well, you got great grandkids too, because you're a
Yep.
grandmother.
Yep. Yes.
So
Yes.
he inherited a whole tribe. He's a real king, right? Oh, that's
And
wonderful.
even when I found him, I remember looking at him and just being like, that's my dad. Like I embody so many parts of him and so many, like I understand why I couldn't find a piece of myself because I was missing such a big piece of myself. He's such like I am my daughter. I'm my father's daughter, I am his little mini me in every way. So
That's
I understand why I lost such a huge part of myself, a part of my identity, because I didn't know him, and knowing him is knowing me. And that's
And then
incredible.
with the shock of, how it was presented to you that, the imposter syndrome, I'm not your father. He said it in a mean way. No matter how many apologies, it will be ingrained in you. And so you're saying, okay, well, now you go to the side. Let me go to somebody that is my bloodline. But also, young women struggle with daddy issues. He wasn't there. And then you get with these knuckleheads that just do whatever. You have low self-esteem. You're a young mother. And you're not really seeing a role model or understanding the role of a man in a woman's life outside of this abusive dictator. You don't understand the comfort, the nurturing, the teaching, the protection that they offer. So I say that to any young woman that's listening to this right now. Men are wonderful, you know. My stepfather, I had a stepfather, and he was good to me. And my husband, I've been married 37 years, and I adore the breeze that keeps that brother cool. And he is a great father, you know, and he was a teenage father. And I had to have him break it down to my daughter as to what's happening from a man's perspective. Because men are people too, they're not monsters. And they have been through a lot of trauma, but they have to suppress it. You know, I'm sure for 41 years, he thought about you many times, wanted to reach out, wanted to call you. You know, people get caught up on that child support, whatever, on both sides. You know, sometimes you got it, sometimes you don't. But that has nothing to do with emotional support, you know, and with love. And
In
so
my,
you can't find that.
in Robert's defense, he, my mom told him that she was pregnant with me. They were together. I'm a one-shot miracle, baby. I'm a one-shot miracle. My parents were intimate one time. I'm his miracle baby, and he will tell you. He had no idea. And he was going into the army, and they tested him, and so. And he had been in many long relationships with women over the years, and he could never have father any children. So, just and also going back on what you were saying, we as women, so much focus as young girls is put into what men are supposed to be in our lives. And from little girls, it starts with our father, you know, and it, if there's strife, then we have daddy issues, and we grow up unparented, you know, and that caused so many issues with self-esteem, for me because of that, you know, when I was a victim of a survivor of domestic violence, you know, I had low self-esteem as a black girl in the Pacific Northwest. The idea of beauty wasn't the person I saw in the mirror.
Right.
It
It wasn't
wasn't
dark
the
skin. It wasn't
no.
dark skin and kinky hair. That wasn't
Right.
her.
It wasn't what was reflected. I remember, I write in my book, one of the first memories I have is I wish they all could be California Girls by David Lee Roth. And I didn't look anything like that. You know, that blonde hair, blue-eyed idea of European perfection and that beauty standard. And that rocked me to my core because I felt like I wasn't worthy and I wasn't lovable, you know, and I looked, I had this huge nose that now I look and I see my father. I see the beauty of really who I am, you know, and it was something I struggled with. And so I throw all that to the side now, and I walk in the glory and the sovereignty of who I am today as a woman. I've overcome and I've survived all of these things. And I don't want other little girls who look like me to ever feel how I did. I want them to embrace their black girl magic, embrace their beauty and their wide noses and their thick lips, you know, and our big booties. I want every little girl to have every wish, all the wishes, and know that she's worthy of all the things.
Well, you have an
So.
opportunity to pour that into those beautiful granddaughters that you have. Tell us a little bit about your businesses.
So I was talking about all the wishes. We are a purposeful business, jewelry, bath teas, bracelets. A portion of our proceeds go back to granting wishes for LGBTQ women and BIPOC women. So we've paid phone bills, we've paid light bills, we've got Christmas gifts for families. And that's just the beginning. On the website should be up, allthewishes.org and allthewishes.com. There's a virtual wishing well where you can donate to grant wishes for other BIPOC women and LGBTQ women.
Okay, wait. You use a term I'm not familiar with. BIPOC? What is that?
BIPOC, Black Indigenous People of Color.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And so really just pouring into that community and the LGBTQ community and granting wishes, buying houses. A wish that I want to grant is there's a woman who she lost her front tooth from a DV situation. So I'm hoping to pair with someone so we can get an implant in for her because she's a beautiful woman and she deserves to have her full smile. And really just going into our earth and our community and making it a better place.
It's a beautiful place, but we're stirring up so much kerfuffle and trying to make it ugly, and that's not good. Tell my brains how to get in contact with you, Afina.
You can get in contact with me on my website, athena@allthewishes.org or athena@allthewishes.com. And you can get in contact with me on Facebook, All the Wishes. You find me on Facebook at All the Wishes.
Well, brains, I just need you to close your eyes and make a wish and click. Click on the spot right here on the edge. Go in and check out Afina's things. Be a blessing. Purchase something, you know? Be a giver for somebody. Contribute to this woman's tooth. I know how it would feel to, you know, have want to smile, but you don't. You got your big tooth missing. And it's expensive for an implant, but she's deserving. You're deserving of all the things you've got. You are such an overcomer. You have been able to unpack this and really, really make a beautiful life for yourself. I'm so happy for you. You look like you are in your element right now, and I just really relish in that. I really do. Give your father a big old supersized on the edge hug for me and tell him that I'm happy for him that he's a new daddy of a 2-year-old.
Yes, I will. Thank you so much, April.
Absolutely. Brains, go in, love, like, and share. Okay, share this with someone that maybe has been a victim of domestic violence, that wants to be an entrepreneur, that's a grandmother, that is looking for their surrogate father. You know, send Afina a note. Maybe she can tell you how she did that 23andMe. All right. So, did you do 23andMe or did you do Ancestry.com?
I actually did them both.
You
I
did them
did both.
both? And did you get the same results from both?
Yes, I did. I did. If you do Ancestry DNA, that's the one that I would suggest doing because it separates your paternal and your maternal family. So that's really amazing. And that's something I didn't know. Had I known that, I would have found him many years sooner. So definitely check that out.
Well, check it out,
And check
brains.
me out.
Right. And so we're going to come back and we're going to talk about the book when it's released because I'm excited. And you're going to do an audio version because you got a beautiful voice. And you never know, you might get somebody to pick it up as a screenplay.
Yes, that's right. That's my hope. That's my wish. All the
All right.
wishes.
All the
Thank
wishes. That's
you.
right. They're there for you. All right, brains, get it together. I'm looking your way and I'm counting on you to be the best person that you can possibly be. I know it ain't easy. I know it ain't easy. But to whom much is given, much is required. Right, Afina?
That's right.
All right. See you later, brains.
Thank you.